Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 170's The Game, as we talk about trust issues within the fan base already brewing for Adam Peters in the gang. At the end of the warm-up, we talked about the dream scenario, but you'd be cool with it, and we're still having some of these come in. Tommy T here. My dream would be going to a game this year, but I'm cool hanging out with you guys every Sunday. Wow. Absolutely. We will be streaming the games, and it's going to be exciting no matter which rookie QB that they take. Odds on favorite is going to be Jaden Daniels right now, leading Drake May, and then JJ McCarthy, my pick, way back down there. We'll talk about Bet Online in another moment here, but you don't want to sleep on Adam Peters in this front office staff. In fact, you don't have to sleep. If you head over to don'tsleepenergy.com, use the code DISTRICT to get yourself 10% off your entire order. They'll have all of your energy needs taken care of and some fantastic gear as well. They support that you can support a local company. That's right. They are DMV located. So don'tsleepenergy.com, use the code DISTRICT, get yourself 10% off. This conversation, gentlemen, is coming about because I have been going around supporting our other channels, popping in, been sitting at my computer doing a lot of editing. And when I edit, I throw up some of the content, right? So that way I have something going on as I edit. And if I happen to catch it live, I like to make sure I comment because I know that that helps people out. So we appreciate everybody coming in here and commenting for us. Make sure you also hit that like button. I do that for our other content creators as well when I go and find their content. The thing with it, though, is as I listen to them and as I see different comments coming in for us, and as I, you know, I'm out on Twitter, which is the only social media I use,
same,
you know, I see the same thing kind of popping up over and over again. And a lot of it's because I'm a JJ guy. All right. A lot of them say the same thing. If Adam Peters takes blank, I'm out. You know, a lot of it's JJ McCarthy. If people are ready to throw themselves off buildings, if JJ McCarthy's the pick at two, but they're also, you have the Staniels who don't want Drake May, who are so far off Drake May that they won't trust Adam Peters. And then you have the Maniacs who, if Jaden Daniels is the pick, don't like that pick. And so they're already out on Adam Peters. So I wanted to bring this conversation up about how far are we willing to trust Adam Peters? For some people, the trust is already in question.
Yeah.
Two picks into the first draft he has as a GM. So Trev, how far are you willing to trust Adam Peters?
As far as he'll take us right now. I mean, it's a brand new leadership for us. We might know what he did at other organizations, but we weren't there to see it. We're just hearing, it's all rumors and things we've heard from the other fan bases. So far, I trust him. You heard rumblings about Dan Quinn wanting the coach, but not really in Washington necessarily until towards the end when he got hired. But for the most part, it was Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick, you know, and then they kept it quiet and did their research on Dan Quinn extensively, and here he is coach. Prime example, I didn't know that Lance guy from Detroit we got was at the combine with Adam Peters until I saw a Commander's Log episode. I mean, there's a report that Peters and Quinn were there, maybe Cliff Kingsbury, but nobody else from the front office. And you see the Commander's Log episode, it's like, oh, well, he's actually like got his guy there that has been so successful in Detroit there at the combine. All the free agencies, I am not. I mean, you don't really hear people in this fan base saying they are displeased with the free agency. Maybe one or two picks that they got, like, people aren't happy with. But overall consensus is we're all pleased with the free agency offseason moves that they made. And that was kept quiet. I mean, they were signing people while we were asleep. We woke up and they said, hey, we signed Michael Davis from the Chargers. It's like, what? It wasn't even a rumbling about that.
Yeah.
So, and everything he's kept quiet up to this point has been a positive for us, from the front office to the free agent signing. So why not continue that trust you already have with them with those two things in the draft? Now, if it's 3 years in a row, if he messes up this draft and we have another abysmal season, comes back next year, hits on the draft, maybe we have another abysmal season. Third time's a charm, same thing. By the second year, I'm like, my trust is probably almost halfway out the door by the second year, because we already see his negative trend. But he hasn't had a negative trend. And people harp on the Trey Lance pick. Oh, well, that's not all him. That was other people who had a hand in that. It's not solely on him. He was a part of it, but like, we can't hold that against him after everything else he's done for San Francisco, Denver, and New England, and already for Washington. So I'm not ready to stop trusting the man yet. It's only been it's been like 6 months, 5 months.
We haven't even seen the product on the field yet. And that's what's crazy to me about this draft selection business. Nothing. We're just a bunch of yahoos listening to other people. Sometimes we're watching quote unquote film. And so we make our own opinions largely based off of what we're hearing from people who are much smarter at football than us. They have an entire staff built to do this. And and Adam Peters was lauded coming in here, and it was trust in Peters, and it was all this stuff about how he's a legit person and all this. And here we are, pick two. We're saying that no, we know more than you if he doesn't take Jaden Daniels, or he takes JJ McCarthy, and people are losing their dang on minds. Right. I'm with P-Dub. I can't wait until these post-draft rants.
Right.
If it's JJ McCarthy, people are going to lose their dang on mind. And to include my co-hosts here who love themselves some Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me that that's kind of the mentality that people have, with this aspect, right? Because it's just, we had this trust in Ron and he takes Chase Young and everything's fine. And when he does something crazy, I don't know, like moving up to take a long snapper his second draft. But I mean, that one, I think it was already wearing on people, because he also took Jamin Davis ahead of what most people thought, right? He took Benjamin St. Juiced, who most people were like, who's this kid? Never like, this wasn't somebody that we had on our radar, especially not at pick 74. And so it seems interesting that we're so willing to leave the trust that have had before 2 months ago with Adam Peters as he goes through. I think maybe you brought up the coaching hiring, Trev. Most of us, not you, Stoner, most of us were not in on Dan Quinn.
Right.
We had him very low. And so when he took Dan Quinn, we're all like, why did you take this and not one of these other people? But then Dan Quinn starts cooking. He sets up a great staff. He starts pulling in players who we think highly of. And now we're like, okay, this is why you hire Dan Quinn. Why can't we just wait until we see the product on the field?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is that you do have to wait, because look, this could absolutely and completely blow up and could be a Ron Rivera 2.0 sort of situation over the last 4 years. We don't know that, but we have to trust that as Nathan said, they're 90 million times smarter than we are in terms of all of these hires. That doesn't mean they're going to be the right hires, though. But at this point, you absolutely have to trust them until proven otherwise. But I will say that if you kind of come out and you say, well, if they take Drake May at number two, then I'm out, to where I just have to question your intelligence as a human being. For you to be able to just say that you are smarter than all these people. And Nathan kind of broke it down. They've got all these scouts and all these people that do this for a living and who have watched a gazillion times more tape and have talked to all the coaches and all these other things. And then they decide on one particular player. And for you, who sit there and watch a YouTube highlight of Jaden Daniels, and think he's the guy, and then you're going to be out on this regime when they make these selections. I just have to question your intelligence, not as a football kind of understanding football, but just kind of as a human being. I would question your intelligence. It just doesn't make any sense.
Those same people that are saying that are going to be trusting Adam Peters when Drake May leads us to a 12-win season with single-digit interceptions and 20 to damn near 30 touchdowns. And
I hope everyone's like, saving receipts, you know, during all of this.
Right, yeah.
Just to get season. Those, you know, people who are being outlandish, you know, if he takes JJ at 2, one of the things that I've heard a lot about that, again, as a JJ stan, as a, I believe, our boy Steve over there, McCarthyite, right? So I'm a McCarthyite that I've heard a lot. Steve Lim, good guy out there in the Command This podcast. I'm a JJ guy. I'm a McCarthyite. One of the things I've heard is I'd be fine if they take JJ, but not at 2. And to me, that's wild, because it's just like, if they take him at 2, why does that have an impact? If JJ ends up being a franchise QB for us, why does it matter? Right? Like you said, Trev, when Drake May, you know, throws for 30 touchdowns, the first one we've had in
ever,
you know, 50 decades, 30 touchdowns, you know, Sammy Ball was the last one to do it for Washington. Never did it. Kirk never got there. 29. He's 29.
Oh,
when Drake May throws for 30 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, and we have a bye week in the playoffs, you know, why does it matter about all the other stuff, right? Why does it matter that you liked Jaden Daniels? If you don't want JJ McCarthy, but he continually takes us into the playoffs, why does it matter that they got there? And people are like, well, value and value this and value, like, they study the board. They know these GMs. They know that if they fall back, and this is the reason why I think that Adam Peters is publicly, one of the reasons, he's publicly come out and said, yeah, I'm happy picking at 2. It's because, you know, maybe they do like JJ more than Drake May, which is what some people have alluded to. Nobody knows what's going on in this war room right now, but it's been alluded to that they might have JJ above Drake May. And if that is true, they know that they can't risk trading back with Minnesota, right, with Las Vegas, and then trying to, you know, gamble that their guy is going to be there, because they have a better read on what the rest of the NFL is going to do than we do. So they're just going to take their guy.
Yeah. And when you say that, Nathan, it's like, okay, you don't value JJ McCarthy as the number 2 overall pick, but you'd be okay with selecting him at 12. That doesn't make sense to me. If you like the guy, take the guy at 2 and not worry about hoping that he lasts until 12 if you end up trading back. So I get that. But if you think a guy is a second or third round type value and you can get him back there, then that's understandable. But these guys, the crazy kind of thing about how some of these picks that they make, it's okay to have a passionate opinion on Drake May or JJ or Jaden Daniels. It's okay to be passionate and say they have to take Drake May, for example. And Yam, who I haven't seen Yam in here yet, he's a big Drake May guy. He's like, if they take Jaden Daniels, they're going to botch it. It's okay to be passionate about it. But then to say, if they take Jaden Daniels, then I'm out on being a Commanders fan, that's where I question your intelligence, because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, if 2 years down the road and they take Jaden Daniels instead of Drake May and Jaden Daniels bombs out, then you can say, I told you so, and you were right all along. Good for you. But that doesn't change sort of how you should feel about your organization or the team that you've rooted for 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is. But it just does seem kind of weird that when people get passionate about something, that they kind of put that line there that says, if they take Drake May, I'm out. That doesn't make a whole, because I've had a lot of problems with some of the picks that they've made, some of the free agents. I had a problem with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, you don't like
as the offensive Kingsbury. Coordinator.
You don't like the lack of an offensive tackle on the left side during right. free agency.
But hey, I'm still going to hope and pray and be passionate about Cliff Kingsbury being a fantastic offensive coordinator. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm not hoping that my argument will be correct in the end.
Right, because right? then what are you really doing it for?
Yeah, I don't want to sit there and be, I told you so. Cliff Kingsbury was terrible. All he does is throw the ball, whatever. I just want my team to win so I can be passionate about not liking what they do in certain areas. And you may be passionate about the quarterback selection at number two. But hey, in the end, then we all got to kind of rally around and support and be big time fans again.
Yeah, and I think that's important. My favorite comment on the leaving so far has been from Matt here. Honest question. If you did leave as a fan, where are you going to go? Cricket? Soccer? The Raiders?
Yeah.
There has some history.
I've known some people to go.
Yeah.
I've known some people to go.
Yeah. You would be a Raiders fan. I knew a guy changed to a Steelers fan. I knew a guy who changed to a Titans fan. Right? He used to be a DC radio guy and then said, I've had enough. And now he's a Tennessee Titans fan. And hey. Good for you, but you know, can't be me.
No, can't be me. And I do, Gregory. The just because you're a maniac doesn't mean you're a moron. That's not what Stoner was saying. Stoner was referring to those who are so adamant that
they're going to give up their fandom.
Yeah, that you're going to give up your fandom. That's the aspect that is there. And JG. You know, again, this is what we're talking about here. JG commenting, I'm still worried about Cliff, but I'm hopeful. And I think that's absolutely fair, right? I have very publicly, you know, talked about my concerns with Jaden Daniels, who right now looks to be who Washington is going to take. Mm-hmm. I'm not curbing that. I am very concerned over the sack issue, over the scramble issue, you know, but that being said is I'm hopeful that he's the one who's going to be different. He's going to be the outlier. You know, he's the exception. And I believe in the coaching staff to help him, but I very much do. That's why I'm not a Staniel, right? That's why I have him ranked third out of these three QBs is because of those things. Those are legitimate concerns to have, but 100%. You can guarantee when we stream live tomorrow, as Matt was asking earlier, are we going to do a live show? We absolutely are. 100%, and we'll have giveaways there as well as we're having later tonight. But you can, I guarantee you, it doesn't matter who that name is picked at two. I am going to be excited. I'm going to be like, okay, here we go. Oh, yeah. I love it. Let's move on. And it's just because this, any one of these three could be a franchise quarterback, and Washington's not had one of those. Period.
And yeah. And I hope that it doesn't leak. Before then, I hope, you know, that we can have that absolute anxiety and tension when old Pete Rozelle or Paul, who's the current commissioner, Tagliabue, what's his name?
Tagliabue, Goodell.
Oh, Goodell. When Goodell goes up to the podium and he makes a selection for Washington at number two, I hope we don't know at that point and that we can have a really good natural reaction to what happens. I don't want it to leak. Remember when the whole Commanders thing leaked the night before because of the helicopter? Oh,
because the helicopter? The
and NBC it just made helicopter. Everything so anticlimactic?
Anticlimactic.
Yeah. It made it just not as fun when they actually made the announcement. So, yeah, I hope that it doesn't leak.
To be fair, Doug Williams... like that wasn't fun anyways. Like it could have been a lot more fun, but he was like, we're the Commanders. And I was just
that was bad.
So, all right. Honest question.
Okay.
You guys need to tell me, you're going to sit here, Nathan, we take Jaden Daniels. You're going to be like, all right, let's go. Are you going to be like, okay.
Yeah. It's a good question.
You know what I mean? Because I personally, if we get Drake May, I'm going to be like,
yeah, you're right, Trev. If they go Drake May, my head might explode.
The levels.
And then I'll be like, okay. But yeah, so like,
That's a fair question. Okay. Cause I've listed them out, JJ, Drake, and then Daniels. Okay. That's my order. There's definitely levels of excitement to this for me. If it's Daniels, I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's get to moving. I'm on record that Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, has the best shot of being the offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
It is no secret that his floor is going to be higher, especially his rookie year, over the other two, over the other three, even if you want to include Caleb Williams, because he is a dynamic, an electric runner. He has a gift that I think is going to translate well to the NFL. That's his speed and that athleticism. Okay. There's reasons to be excited about Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the scramble rate, even though it's super high and worrisome, does it matter if he's running for 10, 15 yards and gets you a first down? No. So there's still reason to be there. So I'm still going to be excited. If it's Drake May, okay. We have a prototypical NFL quarterback. He's got things to fix. He might be inconsistent. There's going to be growing pains, but we got a guy who's as big as me, who's out there slinging the ball. All right. That sounds great because we've got a lot of short guys here recently. And, you know, the little boy wonders haven't done the job. So maybe a big guy can do it. And if we get JJ McCarthy, you're right. You guys are going to be crying like Caleb Williams into his mom after a loss. And I'm going to be running around screaming my head off, and you won't hear it because I've got this fantastic mic that EP got me, Tommy. You'd asked that earlier. I believe Amazon for the record, but I'm going to be ecstatic, right? So it's levels to this, but yeah, any one of these can be a franchise QB for us. Any one of these can be the guy that Washington does. And this is only one pick, right? There are six picks within the top 100.
But this is the most important.
Super important pick. And Justin was asking, why are we even asking this question in the first place? It's because of how many people have taken the importance of this pick. And they have put their personal preference down and said, if he doesn't pick my guy, he's messed it up and I'm out. And that's why we're having this question in the first place, Justin, is because there's so many of those people who are trusting their own evaluation or trusting the evaluation of people who are not in the room, right? We don't know how Jaden Daniels did in those interviews. We don't know how Drake May or JJ McCarthy, by all accounts, the former two, especially JJ, has been absolutely killing it in the interviews. Right. That's one of the reasons why he's going, because we don't see that.
Right.
Right.
You know, he gets in the room and he breaks down plays, and he talks so well because he's been coached by Jim Harbaugh that he's just been moving up people's boards, and or at least our perception, because everybody else said, oh, he's a second round pick. Now he could be the number two pick.
What do we do if Jaden Daniels goes number one? Then what's your head going to do? Then what will you
exploding? You'll probably not hear anything outside of me, outside of Caleb Williams for the 10 minutes, because they're going to take all 10 minutes to run that card up.
No, they're not.
It's going to happen. It's going to take 10 minutes for the Bears to get their card in. It's going to take 10 minutes for Washington to get their card in. It'll take 10 minutes every single time. But that entire 10 minutes, I might be crying, and I would just be saying Caleb Williams over and over and over again.
Where was that the chat that you put up, Nathan, about tomorrow?
I might have unstarted.
Okay. I was looking back for it again. But, I mean, tomorrow the live draft or the live stream of the draft is going to be huge here on Ref the District, and we – along with all the giveaways that we're doing. And of course we're doing the Terry McLaurin jersey giveaway here tonight in just a little bit, but all of the swag that we're giving away, Nathan, what'd you say? Over $500 worth of swag.
Yeah, nearly 600. I think we're just shy of 600.
Yeah. So we're going to be giving away stuff all night long. Plus, of course, you've got just the excitement of the draft. We've got guests coming on. Tailgate Ted, Trev, is joining us from Detroit. He's going to be in the inner circle. And if I'm not mistaken, Washington, because they're picking second, are gonna, the fans are gonna be right up front. So So all those guys that we know, the hog farmers, are all gonna be up there, and the fans and tailgate Ted's gonna be right up in there. And so he's gonna call in, or he's gonna StreamYard in, he's gonna video in, assuming the cell signal is good there. So we got tailgate Ted, we've got Dr. Chow, right? He's a football doc. If you follow him on Twitter, he's the guy that's gonna tell us about whether or not we should be worried about Jaden Daniels' frame, whether we should worry about his elbow, his crazy elbow, and
if he's the pick.
All that. We've got former Redskins receiver Anthony Armstrong will be joining us.
That's dope.
And we'll have EB from the Junkies. Eric Bickle will be on. Not EB, the Eric Bieniemy. You know, we don't. He tried to come on, but we were like, no, we want the real EB. We want EB from the Junkies. All these guests are going to be on, all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, plus just hanging out, watching the live draft, watching Washington select at number 2. Can't wait. You guys got to be there. Everybody who's here now, make sure you're going to be here tomorrow as well, starting at 7:30 Eastern, all the way through probably, you know, a couple hours up until – maybe around pick 10. We'll see how it goes. If Washington trades back, see what happens.
Yeah.
That was like a 2-minute plug for
it was. I'm going to actually continue it because I've already been doing some of the graphics creation for it. So we have the giveaway graphic for tomorrow up for our audio listeners right now. There's a Sean Taylor jersey. There's the draft hat, shirts. There's Scary Terry shirt, a Sean Taylor t-shirt. We got McLaurin, Dotson, and Brian Robinson numbered t-shirts. We got a coffee mug, some pint glasses, and that is a mini helmet. I was thinking about putting in the big helmet, but that was $900. And I was just like, I was like, maybe.
All by itself.
No signature. Just a realistic helmet was like $900. And I was like, you know, the Sean Taylor jersey should be the standout. So that's it. But that is going to be tomorrow's giveaway. We will be giving away a Terry McLaurin jersey during the cool down. So you'll want to stay tuned for how to win that. All you have to do, Justin, is we'll have some information for you tomorrow on what to enter into the chat. For today's, we'll have that when we get there. So that's the big thing, is you just have to sit and talk with us. That's the biggest thing.
Just got to be here
and come in and have some fun. And absolutely, Roger, this will 100% help your chances spiritually, not actually, but you hit that like button and be a fan, and 100% good vibes will come your way as well. So make sure you listen to Roger there. Let's continue with the trust issues. I brought up Ron Rivera and the amount of trust that he was given. And I feel like we gave him a lot more leeway. You know, Chase Young, Antonio Gibson, Gandy Golden. I think there was some fascination there with Gandy Golden, but nothing really big. I mean, Cam Curl ended up being something, you know, that was unique and very special if you're stoner.
Second
draft, Jamin Davis, you know, Benjamin St. Juice, like I mentioned, trading up for Cam Curl or Cameron Cheeseman. So, like, I want to, like, we've been so focused on picks too. One of those things that we've talked about is what's happening in day two in the picks. Yeah. And we kind of honed in on certain guys, and some people want Chop Robinson, or they want a tackle, or, you know, as Brian here was, you know, saying, after the first pick, I'll say, do you think we will trade back up into the first, which is already thinking mostly now, right? Like, a lot of people want them to do this. They think that they're going to have to. Daniel Jeremiah and others have been talking about how most of the phone conversations they're having with GMs right now is that there's going to be a run in that 10 to 20 range on offensive tackles. So what is it going to take for them to move back in? And so it's interesting to me. We're not willing to give that trust to Adam Peters before the product on the field. So, you know, I'm asking how far people are willing to trust. We've had a few different answers. My personal answer is, you know, I want to see this through, right? What's the product look 3 years from now? right? Dan Quinn's responsible for winning games. Adam Peters is responsible for giving him players.
Yeah.
So if Dan Quinn's not winning games, Dan Quinn's going to go. Adam Peters is going to stay. He's going to get to hire another coach.
Yep.
Right? Unless more than likely, unless the personnel decisions have been absolutely awful.
Right.
Adam Peters is going to get a second go. So I'm going to trust him getting it right the second time if Dan Quinn, you know, doesn't work out here in Washington.
And really at this point, when you look at trust issues also with Adam Peters, he has a track record. If you want to look at his sort of first round decisions, they haven't been great. Now, he wasn't in charge, but usually the assistant GM, especially when you kind of have a little bit more of a figurehead over in San Francisco like John Lynch was, but he makes the final decision. Make no mistake about that. But where he made his bones was day two and three. That's where he really nailed the team that what San Francisco is now. Look at their stars. Their stars have come in the second round, third round, fourth round, even fifth round guys are stars in San Francisco. They botched Trey Lance. They botched, I forget the defensive lineman edge rusher that they botched a couple years before that. They've not been great at their first rounders, but they have built something in San Francisco on day two and day three draft picks that have allowed a guy like Brock Purdy to come in and just kind of manage the team. Then that'll get you all the way to the Super Bowl. So that's where I kind of trust Adam Peters, because he has a track record, not as the top guy, but as the lieutenant to the top guy. And so I have to give him a benefit of the doubt at this point for all of the decisions he made. I am concerned about the quarterback. I am concerned about the Trey Lance pick that they made. That scares me a little bit, but maybe he learned from that and did a little bit better eval on these guys.
So that's actually a great question I want to talk about now, because that's kind of been eating at me as well, because I've heard that a couple different times about the Trey Lance thing and him learning from it and Brock Purdy. And I was reading an article today about the Brock Purdy effect, and that, you know, NFL GMs are learning that experience is important for a QB. And it's kind of weird to me, because it's just kind of, that was already a thing, right? Bill Parcells, one of his things was that he wanted a three-year starter, you know, somebody who's finished college and all this, those were kind of his traits. And those are all the way back from the 80s and 90s. And so it's not like experience is something new. We've talked about it last year, where reps are super important for a QB. So I don't think that he learned that experience all of a sudden was the factor that made Brock Purdy work and Trey Lance not. Because Trey Lance, that was one of those lessons, was they moved up to the third pick before knowing who was going to be available, right? It wasn't like Carolina picked, then Houston picked, and then San Francisco moved up. San Francisco moved up to the third pick, much in the way Washington did back in 2012, to take whoever wasn't going to be there, you know, whoever was going to be there at two. You know, it was presumed Andrew Luck was going to go one, but RG3 was getting buzz enough that, you know, it was plausible that he could have gone number one that year. But Washington was like, I'm taking whoever is Indianapolis is not taken. And San Francisco did that. And then there was the idea now was that they had Mac Jones kind of penciled in at three and then backtracked and went with Trey Lance, the guy with traits. So what did Adam Peters learn from that trade up to third that people keep saying that he's learned something? What was it that he's learned from that, Trev?
I don't know. I don't think he knew that Trey Lance was going to be injured pretty much his whole career up until now, when he went and scouted him and drafted him, or I don't know if it's him or John Lynch, or he was part of the process. So like, I really don't think that you can put that on him, because Trey Lance has proven that he can't stay healthy in NFL. He hasn't proven he can't play. He just physically can't play because he's always hurt. When he had an opportunity, he's hurt. So he hasn't had a lot of reps, and he hadn't had a lot of college experience too. So yeah, it looks botched because of the injury and he hasn't played, but I don't think Adam Peters and company went in there and said, you know, he's got injury history, but we'll still draft him. Like people, like for Michael Penix this year, for instance. He's got four season-ending injuries, and he's being like labeled as a top four or five quarterback prospect. So it's like, it's just hard for me to put that particular move on strictly on the shoulders of Adam Peters. Well, yeah, it looks bad from optics, but at the same time, you didn't know it was going to be like this.
There were. I mean, TJ's got it right there. I mean, a guy who had 11 starts total, and I believe didn't play his, that was the year before, right? He didn't even play his.
Yeah, he didn't play the COVID year, the 2020 year.
Right, and so they drafted him. I think it has more to do with not necessarily something that's so tangible, but maybe something that was behind the scenes that they learned about evaluating certain quarterbacks, that maybe there's something about competition level that a guy played against, you know, because Trey Lance was what, South Dakota State, South Dakota, yeah. North Dakota.
Course of wins, baby.
Yeah, right. And so I think there's something kind of behind the scenes in their evaluation process that they learned when getting Trey Lance. You know what? It wasn't something where they say, well, he was injured. Well, he only played 11 games. Well, you know, he played lesser competition. I just think it was kind of something in how they look at a guy, how they study a guy. Maybe there's something with the meetings that you have with guys and what to look for, sort of psychological type things that they're going to learn, that you hope that they have learned at this point. But I don't know if it's necessarily tangible that you can just say injury, competition, experience. I don't think it's really that simple, because you can look back in all the history of quarterbacks that have been drafted in the top 10 or whatever, and you're just going to have a wide variety of some guys just came out of nowhere and ended up being fantastic quarterbacks. Some guys were labeled the next great quarterback in the NFL and they were terrible, or all of these things. So it's just not something super tangible, and hopefully they learn from it though.
Yeah. It's interesting because you mentioned Stoner. If you look at all the top 10 guys, there's such a mix. You know, projecting a QB from college to the NFL is just super difficult. And you could take the Trey Lance thing and apply it to any of them. Yeah. Right. You can take the 11 starts and say he didn't have the experience on the field, and JJ's only got 2 years of experience, you know, and so maybe that's a knock for him. You can look at him and go, well, we picked him because he has the physical traits. He's a prototypical size. He's athletic. He has a strong arm. He's inconsistent. And then point that to May.
Sure.
And you can say that he's a running QB, and that is why Jaden Daniels isn't there. He actually does have a high pressure to sack ratio and stuff like this. So it's that's why I'm asking the question of what is he learning that people are so sure, like, okay, he's going to learn from this one. And as Tommy pointed out, he wasn't even in the driving seat, right? He was there. He was in the room. He had a voice, but Kyle Shanahan and Lynch were the driving forces for that. So this is Adam Peters could definitely, you know, learn, but maybe he wasn't the one who made that selection.
Maybe he was a, you know, Mac Jones guy, right? Maybe he was.
Yeah, still not the right choice.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe he was a guy that says, this is not the year we should be trading up to 3 for a quarterback, regardless of what we have in our QB room right now. We don't know these things, right? We don't know kind of who drove that, but it's on your record. It's on your permanent record as being the assistant GM of a successful organization that traded up for Trey Lance, who is an absolute bust in the NFL. So
far.
It's on your record.
Yeah.
There's no so far to
Trey. He's going to take over for Dak in Dallas.
You never know. They did trade him over there to Dallas.
I did the research one time about how many top 10 quarterbacks that were drafted by one team and flamed out with that team and went to another team and became successful franchise quarterbacks. And the best I could get in the last 20 years was Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, which was his second stop because he flamed out in Miami. And now one who has who might do it now would be Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
He's a guy, because he's getting that bigger contract with Tampa Bay, maybe he has that chance. But it just doesn't usually happen. If you were a top 10 pick and you flame out, you don't all of a sudden become great with a second team 3 or 4 years. It just doesn't happen. I haven't seen it. Ryan Tannehill was the best example in the last 20 years that I could find. So, yes, Trey Lance, bust. I'm ready to call it. Zach Wilson, bust. I'm ready to call it. Sorry. Justin Fields, sorry. I love him, but history's Stoner. Not on your side, brother.
Stoner is always down on people. He really is. He loves using that bust term far too much.
He's not a bust. Are you going to stand on the table? Are either one of you going to stand on the table?
I'm saying it's Trey Lance. Let him, when his career is over, call it a bust. Now, obviously it didn't work out for them. And Matt's asking who our biggest draft bust is. And we actually had that, I think, 2 years ago. Mm. We've been doing a lot of content here. This is episode 170. Today we're talking about trust issues with Adam Peters. And there's been a lot of chat, namely from our friend here, TB, who is pushing a lot of trade scenarios for him. And we've talked about how I will be positive with any QB and pretty much not really upset and trusting the process here. So TB, though, wondering, will you guys go berserk if Washington trades down?
Yes.
From two?
Yes. I will lose my mind. Ron Rivera, EB, Eric Bieniemy, not the Junkies, and Sam Howell gave us all an early Christmas gift, and it's the number two pick in this year's draft. They gave it to us on a silver platter. Ron spent 4 years and gave us 2 years of number two draft picks. Okay? This is a gift. This doesn't come around every year. It doesn't come around once every 4 or 3 years. It comes around once in a blue moon. Unless you're the Cleveland Browns as of like 5 years ago. They were always, whatever, you know, or Detroit. But come on, man. We're talking about the franchise quarterback, our face of the franchise, our leader for the next at least 5 years is right there at number two. Whether it's Caleb, Jaden, Drake, Penix, Bo Nix, JJ, somebody. All these quarterbacks are very capable that I just named of changing your franchise for the better. Why do you want to trade down and risk out losing on half of those quarterbacks, go get somebody that you personally wanted, and then in week two, that same person that's complaining about trading down and we did that is complaining that we don't have a quarterback, and we're right back to where we started. Well, yeah, it's because we did what you wanted to do and just give away our free gift at a franchise-changing player to go get somebody who's not going to be good for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, probably won't even be here the next 3 years. It's a practice squad. Like, come on. It's right there. We need a quarterback. You don't trade down from number two for anything, for nothing, for nothing.
On a side note, I would like to nominate Trev's pronunciation of the quarterback from the University of Washington into the botched names Hall of Fame, which, by the way, Nathan is
Michael Penix.
Nathan is I have all the alone bosses. In the botched name Hall of Fame at the moment. But can we nominate Trev for the Penix name? I mean, it's
what did
it's,
I say?
Michael I Penix? Love the way you say it. You always say Penix, and it just makes me laugh, and I can't help it.
Michael,
and I lose focus on what you're talking about. All
right, NPJ so. From now on.
So
I will leave the live stream if Goodell comes there and says.
Trev does often threaten that, at least. He is very consistent with threatening leaving the live stream.
I think Gus brought up a good point, though. I mean, what if they just trade back to three?
No.
And
but why is no one moving up to two?
Yeah. Why would you? What's the point of even that trade down if you're going from two to three? What's the point of that?
Well, it's probably because you're good with any of the QBs that fall to three, and you're not worried about who they take at two. My question is New England's in discussions right now of potentially trading back. Mm-hmm. So somebody would have to trade up to three then trade up to two after that for this to make sense. But then they don't have any resources to give Washington.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
They gave it all up.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna give this number two pick for a lollipop and some peanuts.
Well, I mean, are they salted?
They're honey roasted.
Oh, honey roasted? I might.
Right.
Sorry, I might.
So it is. It's.
I don't
wouldn't know about going berserk, mainly because I have to keep a show running tomorrow night.
No, Nathan, but, go berserk.
Go berserk.
Yeah. It would be baffling to me to do so. And one of the reasons why Adam Peters has been telling people, hey, we're not moving off this pick.
Yeah.
Because if you move off the pick, you take away your agency. You take away the ability to get control. The person you want, which is why I'm okay with them taking their guy at two. And then work in the rest of the draft. Once you move back, even if you move back to four,
don't do it.
Which, of course, Arizona is not going to move off of four. But you move back to Vegas, who is probably the better trade partner for you anyways, because they're taking a rookie QB. They are still trying to put their team together. Their head coach may or may not be a flash in the pan. And their picks the next couple of years are probably going to be pretty darn good picks. Rather than Minnesota, who, yeah, you get two picks this year, but then Minnesota is a team who could be in the playoffs. And so you're picking 20s, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want that. And so it's, again, the fact that you're taking away your agency, that's the one that I would be honestly baffled. Unless they pull some Kevin Costner, which I guess maybe I should be watching that tonight, some draft day stuff, because I'll be out of the house tomorrow. And unless they pull some kind of magic where they trade back and then they trade up and right back into third or fourth to get the guy that they want, I just don't see that being a successful thing for them. And I know a lot of people love Michael Pratt, Tulane quarterback. I mean, I've seen a couple of different times someone's mentioned, you know, hey, go ahead and take him. Make this the 2012 draft again, where you take a QB in the first, and then you take another QB in the fourth or the fifth.
I'm okay with that, actually, by the way.
Yeah, and Michael Pratt is one of the ones people like. So maybe you take Jaden Daniels at two, and then you take Michael Pratt, who's an entirely different quarterback, at four, and hedge your bets on who's going to be the better one.
Listen.
Don't move.
Take Jaden Daniels at two, and if Michael Penix is there at 36, take Michael Penix at 36, man. Let him battle it out.
No, you do not do that.
Tinfoil hat, though, Nathan, is we don't hear anything from Adam Peters, right? We hear nothing. No. They have kept everything on, but we did hear from him that he is resolute in staying at number two. Mm-hmm. Is that him leaking it to force people to give more than maybe? Because if I tell you, if I put it out there that I'm entrenched at number two, I'm not moving, then that tells everybody else you're going to have to give up a little bit more to get
keep
me to
that move. Price going up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that could be him driving up the price to move out of number two. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing, that could be a possibility.
Why is that the only reason? Yeah.
Why is that the only leak from Adam Peters in draft season, is that they're entrenched?
It's not even a leak, Stoner. That's straight from him. He said, yeah, I'm feeling good about our spot at two, right?
Yeah.
That's public information that he's put out there. But that's the other aspect. I think I keep mentioning I had two aspects, right? One is you don't give up your agency. The other part is, why would you go away and give up your power stance, right? The power you have in bargaining. It kind of reminds me of Facebook Messenger, the little store things all the time. It cracks me up. So like if we're trying to sell something here at the house, EP will put it up on the Facebook marketplace. And she puts a price. And the first thing somebody asks is, well, how low will you go? And I had to work with EP on this because she would just be like, well, I'll go down to 25. Well, now you just reset the price.
Yeah. So somebody else is going to try to.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, will you take 20? No, yeah, the lowest I was taking is 25. Well, no. You started at 50. We already see that you're willing to go down. So you don't move off your price. And it's a foolish thing to do. And so Adam Peters is a smart man when it comes to this. He's like, we're staying at two. And we're like, well, I'll give you this. And I was like, no, we're staying at two. They know they have to come back with more.
Yeah.
You know, if they are like, well, this is my best offer, and you're like, I'm staying at two, all of a sudden, magically, there's another couple of picks thrown in there. right? Or maybe, hey, well, how about what if we do this pick swap in conjunction? It's like, oh, so this wasn't your best offer. No, no, I'm seriously staying at two. And now all of a sudden there's more and stuff. So you don't give up your bargaining power. You set the price, you set the price, and you stay there. Let them squirm trying to lower it or raise it as needed.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
The let's see here. We got some takes. I wanted to see there. Here's one that I found fairly fun here from Big E. For the panel, would you trust Adam Peters if they gave up the second pick for Justin Herbert?
No. You had a chance to go get him, and you didn't. Move on. I'm not doing this. No. Keep the number two pick. Go get your new generational talent. Yeah, I am. I am. No. Nope. I'm not doing it. No, sir.
I had to mute myself because I was screaming at Trev. Are you insane? Are you insane? You wouldn't trade a second pick.
What has he done? What has he done?
Well, I can't.
Has he made the how many times has he made the postseason? How many times has he won MVP? How many times has he been like in the conversation for MVP? How many times has he been in the conversation for anything that's proven good?
He is a proven quarterback, Trev.
That can go 8-9 every year.
Jaden Daniels. You can't tell me that Jaden Daniels is more proven than Justin Herbert. Of course,
I don't. This is a brand new era. I don't want somebody who's already had. Give me
4 years.
Somebody in the draft. No, I don't want Justin Herbert. I'm good on that. No. I'm good.
I can't.
He had weapons around him in San Diego, LA, wherever, and he's still an 8-9. And guess what? All his weapons left, and now what's he gonna do? Nothing.
He
didn't do nothing. He hasn't done anything in the past 4 years that makes me be like, dang, man, let's go get Justin Herbert.
That's a bit bold that he hasn't done anything in the last four 8-9, years.
Bro. Really stat, bold, he could kill the stats, but what did he do in the postseason? Trev. Oh, wait, he didn't get there. What did he do when he had a chance to get there? Oh, he didn't convert and didn't get there. I remember that. But, hey, he threw for 4,500 yards. Let's go get him. No,
he actually only threw for 3,000 yards last year. I mean, he only played 13 games, so that
exactly. I'm good on that.
9-8 and a 10-7. I don't want to hear that. And he's been in the playoffs.
Awesome. Ooh,
and in the playoffs, he was 25 of 43 for 273 touchdowns and one touchdown with no picks.
How much did he win that game?
He didn't. They did not. The team
did he win that game? Sweet. So let's go sign. Let's go get a paper. A paper stat winner, guys. Yeah. Let's do that.
Our young asking, why would San Diego do that deal? They wouldn't.
They wouldn't because they're in L.A.
Stoner would because he loves Justin Herbert. That's LA, the only reason why.
The L.A. Chargers, Jim Harbaugh has come out and said J.J.'s the best QB of the draft. Some people have come out and said that he should put his money where his mouth is, give up Herbert, and take JJ as his QB, which of course will not be the thing to do. I'm sorry, Trev, but I do think you would be wrong to not take Justin Herbert for the second overall pick. You'd be wrong.
To 42 what? Picks.
Yeah. And how many postseason wins and appearances did he have?
His one appearance, zero wins. Like a
Peyton Manning
stat. There we go. I'm trying to win. I don't want stat leaders on my team. I want to win games.
Yeah.
And
Jaden Daniels is going to come in and lead us to the promise.
Don't you do that because you're a Jaden Daniels advocate and you want us to.
He's very much a Staniel. I've been calling him Danny Boy for months now.
I see what you're doing now. Yeah. You can't fool me.
17,000 yards in 4 years, and we're down on Justin Herbert.
How many wins and losses does he have?
He's 30-32. He's very Kirk Cousins like. You wouldn't take Kirk Cousins in his prime here? Of course you would.
No. We had Kirk Cousins in his prime here. And where did it get us?
Did we?
A contract, a lot of wasted money, and a contract with Minnesota. That's what it got us.
We got
you to like the that? One with you him. Like
no,
that?
No, we did not. No,
he didn't get a second contract with us.
Best thing he got, the highlight of his career was the You Like That game.
I remember that. I remember sitting on the couch right over there.
I'm good, bro. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Awesome.
Stoner wants Justin Kirk Cousins Herbert. Heavy. from Locked On Law. That's a good one. We, man, everyone's coming up with good one. We got Prince is Caleb Williams is the as if Prince was playing QB. We've got
Justin Herbert is Sunshine from Remember the Titans with that hair and headband.
So, all sorts of that was Ryan Gosling, wasn't it?
Was it no, Ryan Gosling was the white cornerback. Who's the kid out of Iowa that's going to get drafted in the first round? He was that guy. He got benched. I guess Ryan Gosling got benched, so it wasn't his.
Okay.
All right. The that chat aside, we're going to be moving on here and giving our draft predictions. Jack has a good one. Bold take. Commanders don't address the O-line in the third round. We'll talk about that. And our giveaway for Terry McLaurin jersey. You're going to want to stick around here for the cool down.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Lefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.